Hello, and welcome to Riser and Shine podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jason, and joining me at the helm is my co-pilot in life and love, Michaela.
Hello.
Now, we don't consider ourselves to be Trekkie purists at all. We are both ensigns in this kind of thing, but we are Star Trek fans and have recently rewatched TNG, Next Generation. We're on the last seasons of Deep Space Nine, yeah. And we'll be boarding the USS Voyager again in the near future. However, there is a black sheep in our Star Trek canon. There's one series that has been cloaked from our scanners ever since its release in 2001. And no matter how many times we tried, we can never make it past the third episode. I think it's like the third episode, right?
That yeah, try to get through it.
And all the Trekkies will know, of course, that I'm talking about Enterprise. Now, it's considered by a lot of fans to be the worst show in the Trek universe, probably not including the Star Trek animated series. But yes, Enterprise does not have a lot of love. And again, we're not hardcore fans. We're not the purists of Trekkies. And there's a bunch of other Star Trek IP that we still have got around to watch. But for us, Enterprise is clearly our white whale.
Definitely.
But we want to give it Enterprise its fair due. You know, we want to give it a chance and kind of see why it's so bad, or maybe it's underrated. So this is why we created Riser and Shine. Each week, we're going to watch, discuss, and rate an episode of Enterprise until we complete its entire four-season run. We're going to go into the characters, the plot, the ships, the species, uniforms, the food, and the phases. We're going to cover it all. And finally, fill a contentious and controversial gap in our Trek knowledge. It's kind of funny how we've not seen Enterprise and completely overcompensating by creating a podcast for it. Like, we haven't done this or anything else. Right. But the one thing that everyone seems to hate, we're actually dedicating our life to kind of covering it. So I guess it's already got some of our respect in that sense. But before we kind of get into that, look, I guess you want to know a little bit more about us and our background and who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing this. So, Michaela, let's start with you. When was your first encounter with Star Trek?
My first encounter was probably as young as I can remember, because when I was very, very young, we're talking about early 80s, it was tradition that I'd spend every day with my childhood best friend for many reasons, because back in the day, our moms would leave each other's at each other's house whenever they had to do some errands.
It's a different time then. We could just leave each other kids at one of those houses and
come so back. It would be either me at his house or him at my house. But generally, I would tend to go more to his house. My mom was going.
where are you from originally? Because I think the viewers might pick up that you have.
I have an accent. Yeah. I'm from Italy originally. From near Venice. So
fancy.
Yeah, fancy. I moved to the UK now 22, 23 years ago. I lost count. And so I lived abroad, and then after the UK, of course, we got married, we traveled quite a bit. But going back to when I was young, so my best friend at the time, I remember I was maybe about 4 or 5 years old, and my friend was 2 years older, and he was a massive Trekkie fan. His mom was a massive Trekkie fan. So we would watch the very original series with William Shatner and...
Oh, wow. The OG.
Yes.
The classic.
And it wasn't just literally a case of watching TV together, but of course, it would extend to our play. And this guy had a... what do you call it? The room above, under the roof.
The loft.
Loft, yes. So he would have the loft that we turned into the Enterprise.
Oh,
and
wow.
We literally created the whole...
So you had your own bridge.
Yeah, we had our own bridge, and we created all the buttons and with stickers and Play-Dohs. I remember blue and red and yellow to make the lights and create the computers and everything, and we would literally play Star Trek. So
Who would you play in terms of the game? Because there's always that contention when you're kids.
I always had to be Spock. the nerds.
Oh, okay, right. But he was the coolest character. Of course, maybe when you were a kid, you don't realize that.
He was always, whatever we played, he was always the coolest character because he was the eldest one.
He's super cool. I mean, everyone wants to be, when you're a kid, you want to be Kirk, right? You want to be William Shatner. Yeah, and if you had a psycho friend, they probably wanted to be Bones. But someone always got lumped with Spock. And at first, you think he's just not cool. He's got those ears and those eyebrows. But then you realize later on that he's awesome.
He's, exactly. So so now he was always Kirk. I was.
Wait, so in Italian, obviously in Italy, so the actors would be speaking Italian.
Yeah, it was all dubbed.
Oh, that's okay. Ah, dub. You say dubbed, dubbed. Like dubbed. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all everything is dubbed.
How did that sound? Because like I don't know. Like obviously you don't know any better when you're a kid and you're Italian, so you just assume that's how they sound.
Yeah.
When you eventually heard the original voices, William Shatner's American voice, Leonard Nimoy's
voice.
So
really weird.
Was it really
weird? No, it was weird, but I could never watch it back in Italian. Like every other movie, I can't watch anything back in Italian now. Because it's just, you know, the it wasn't just a case of being dubbed, because sometimes the voice, it's correct, but it just doesn't match, because obviously you have a certain, like a limited amount of actors that do voiceovers. So
you would hear the same guy with a slightly different tone.
Yeah,
he
would
character.
Be doing, I mean, not necessarily in the same series, but then I would recognize his voice in a different TV show.
Oh,
and then maybe
in
a TV commercial.
You're like, hey, that sounds like Spock.
Exactly. So,
commercial for like toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Spock, is that you? So wait, hang on a second. So the classic Spock line or catchphrase is live long and prosper.
Yeah.
So in Italian, what would that be?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. How? Because I haven't watched it in
What would it be?
Years.
Would it be a literal translation or would it be an equivalent?
I need to go and check.
Live well. What's the Italian say? Benedetto bene. That's interesting. I'd like to know.
I don't know.
That's your research for next week's episode. Find out the classic lines of what they were in Italian. So, live long and prosper, damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor. Those kind of lines, like all those kind of things. It'd be good. We can maybe do a top five lines of Star Trek, some in Italian and some in English. Okay, so you had the loft, you and your friend. What was your friend's name?
Lorenzo.
So, he was Kirk, I presume. You were Spock. You had your adventures.
Yeah.
On the bridge, in the loft.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You guys went deep.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a
we
loft, which is cool because that's high up, so you already feel like you're in space.
That's right.
My childhood for Star Trek was, I didn't start with the OG series. I started with TNG, and even then, it wasn't fully into it.
So you're a little bit older already.
A little bit older. I knew about it, but and I obviously knew the characters and they're iconic: Kirk, Spock, Bones, Scotty, and Uhura. But I didn't really follow it that much, I guess, because my dad was into sports, kung fu films, and that's obviously something that I really absorbed and adapted to. And my mum was into soaps, of course, and Murder, She Wrote, and Diagnosis Murder, and Rockford Files, so all those kind of things. And then I was still had the remnants of A-Team and Knight Rider, or the classic Stephen J. Connell sort of series from the States. But I guess when Next Generation came out, it was the same period as, I don't know, ALF, I guess, or the Wonder Years, that kind of stuff from America. So I was kind of watching more of those things and soaps with my mom, because once, you know, your parents run the TV, right?
Yeah.
Until you got your TV in your room, you had to watch what was ever on the main TV or wait until everyone goes to bed and then come back down and hope that there was a replay or repeat, otherwise you were screwed.
Exactly.
Or you would go to school and then there was those nerds who had the TV in their room. They were lucky or really rich and they would watch everything and you would just pretend that you'd seen it as well.
Yeah.
And when they were talking about it, you'd go, do you remember that scene? What was that guy? So you kind of pretend that you'd watched it.
Yeah.
And eventually what I'd learned is if I talked to five different people, I'd learn the plot of the program.
Yeah.
And then I would actually kind of saw it. Yeah,
on,
I kind of knew what was going on. So I kind of, OG series kind of, by osmosis, just by learning from other people, but TNG was more just from friends talking about it and really loving it and talking about this series, and kind of watched it here and there, but not sort of dogmatically at all. Yeah. But it was something I thought, this is kind of cool, kind of few episodes, not bad, quite interesting. But I think DS9 was the one that really pulled me in. That show, for some reason, that really hooked. And I think by then, when I really watched it seriously, we were together, so
yeah.
I had a co-pilot that I could watch it with.
Yeah.
And I guess you were a bit more into Trek than I was then, to be fair. I mean, even though it was something you also didn't watch religiously, but you had played it as a kid, whereas I didn't really play it as a kid, so it was kind of within your DNA a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, Deep Space Nine together is when we really kind of started to put roots into Star Trek.
Yeah,
and the characters and stuff, getting into the lore of
it. And talk about it as well, because remember, like, we, although it was part of my sort of childhood and my play, but then there was such a huge gap between the original series and the TNG.
Yes.
That, you know, by the time TNG came out, I was grown, and also I wasn't as close to my childhood friends, because obviously, even though we had 2 years gap, you know, when you start becoming teenagers, 2 years are huge, right? So say if I was, I don't know, 13, 14 when he came out, and he was 16, 16 and a half, that was miles away. So
yeah, there was a time, a different headspace at that point as well. And they're so different as well, those two series. I mean, you're talking, you know, Star Trek in the 60s, this different time. I mean, obviously ahead of his time, even though it was a different time. But I guess maybe the plot, the pacing, the style of shooting was very kind of different from TNG. Yeah. So I know a lot of people, the purists, they love that OG series, like TOS.
Yeah.
Original series is the Bible, right? That is lore. And you have to, you know, a real Trekkie unless that is in your bloodstream. But some people can't handle it because it is very different. It might feel a bit slower, a bit more hokey.
Yeah.
Even though it blazed a trail, it is very different from TNG.
At the end of the day, it's still 1960s.
Yeah, it's a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, different period. But
and also the other thing I wanted to say with the challenge that we had is that because TV is not like today that you have TV on demand, you know, with Netflix and everything. In places like countries like Italy that TV shows had to be dubbed, we didn't get stuff until 2-3 years later.
Right.
So that's another reason why I actually didn't see TNG until way later, maybe when we were together or maybe a little bit earlier in the UK. But I definitely did not see it when it came out because of all these reasons. Like, you know, I was maybe my teenage years, I was growing up, and like with my friends, we were not in contact as much. Obviously, we wouldn't sit together and watch a TV series like we would when we were 4 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, the relationship had changed. And also, I'm pretty sure they did not come out at the same time.
Right.
That it would have come out in the US or the UK.
For sure, yeah. But even like
I missed it.
I remember this in the UK. So obviously, before home video and before, say, Blockbuster Video, if it came on TV and you missed it, that was it. You were done for.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't see it again. Maybe if they repeated it, if it was really popular, you might get a repeat, right, or a replay. But I think it really exploded in terms of the proto-Netflix, which was the box set, DVD and video. I remember working in Blockbuster Video, and that was really kind of where I got into it a bit more, especially TNG, because you can get, you know, the season was broken up into multiple video cassettes, but at least you could watch a bunch of episodes at one time, and that was the original binge. That was the original binge, right? Blockbuster Video, I miss Blockbuster Video. Yeah. Did you have that in it? What did you have in Italy?
We had Blockbuster Video.
That
the same
is like, and, oh man, I
remember it, and I had.
Such a cool place.
There wasn't one near where I lived, but you know, my parents live out in the sticks anyway, so.
But that isn't that something cool about that, when you would make the trip to go to Blockbuster? It's so exciting to go.
You have to,
Like, you couldn't wait to get there. You'd spend time going around. It's like the best library in the world.
Because at the end of the day, it was a franchise. Again, and then we're talking about the 90s. Still, it wasn't the equal level of franchise that was, say, in the UK. So we would have maybe one Blockbuster, like, or two in the whole region.
The Mecca. So everyone would just pilgrimage.
So I remember the one I remember, I think the only one in my region was in Treviso. Which is,
so you must have a lot of late fees, because that's how Blockbuster used to make. They charge you they charge you the juice on your rental. So living in the sticks, did you always have like late fees? They must have loved you, because then you would have to come back.
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't.
Yeah, where's my money? They'd come and knock on your door in Italy, right? They send around Joe Pesci. Where's my money?
No.
For the video.
Oh my goodness, that would be scary. No, no, but
you're gonna have to break your legs or something
for a late fee.
You finished the video. Where's Wesley?
Yeah, no, they. It was about a good 35 minutes drive to get to Blockbuster, but of course there were other ones that then they opened.
Yeah, you know, the kind of independent smaller chains.
Exactly. So then we had those, and we used mainly those. We did the
opposite. Blockbuster was a special treat.
It was just like next level. You could tell the difference of just because of
multiple
course,
copies of the popcorn there. Yeah. Different sections and genres.
Yeah.
People kind of. There was like nerds working there, that uniform. Yeah, it was cool, man. It's just like an awesome, like I said, it's like the best. It's like a library. I love books as well, so it's like the most awesome library. Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
And then actually, but libraries, at least in Italy, libraries did have a lot of films. You could rent as well.
UK. Yeah, you can rent films. So. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely, I think that era really where, at least I'm thinking in my head, that's when TNG really kind of exploded in that sense amongst nerd fans. Mm. That boxer era, I think that really kind of blew up. And then, Deep Space Nine for me was the one. Never played it as a kid growing up Star Trek. It was always like A-Team or Chips or something like that. Mm. But DS9, I really connected to that. And then, Voyager and now Discovery and Picard, like we've been scooping those up for some reason Enterprise, we tried, man, we really tried, like we watched
especially when we were traveling last time 2015
we were traveling Star Trek was our thing, right? Every night
we did that's actually the last time that we did the reruns of everything we went through because we were traveling for like over a year, so we just really did the whole, it just suited to watch long series, and Star Trek really plays well with that.
Yeah.
We did watch the whole set of TNG, Space Nine, Voyager. But we tried, I remember we went in Uruguay, in Montevideo, that we were trying to watch a few nights this thing, but I would just fall asleep constantly.
Enterprise.
And just was feeling. I mean,
it's even from the theme tune, like you know something's wrong.
Don't get me started.
From that theme tune. Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it has its fans. We'll probably do a show. We'll do a show as well, maybe the top.
Yeah, it's
Star
just
Trek
wrong.
Themes, but that I just the opening credits. I remember when we first put it in, because we were super excited. We're like, we've done TNG. TOS, DS9, Voyager, like we were just on this roll and it was like so good and we were like so exciting and put it in. I was just can't wait for this. Yeah. And it just, the opening bars of that theme tune and we just looked, there was just that silence between us like what is going on? Like immediately put us in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And then just the visuals from the opening credit,
it's like
imagery
a foreign
is
body
just like.
And there's like a bacteria.
What's going on? I felt like I was with the prophets. Like, you know, like they were showing me some trip with that box that they open, the Alexa box, I always call it when you go, the prophets.
Yeah, the orbs.
The orbs.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? And then, it just started and I was like, I just didn't like it. It's got Scott Bakula, who I love, Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
Yeah, of course.
But you can't get over the fact that it's Quantum Leap guy.
It's Quantum Leap guy.
There's a fake 7 of 9, T'Pau. I don't know. But I think we were harsh. It's weird. Like
we have to do this.
We have to create
us
a podcast to keep us honest to watch this thing, like, because I feel bad that we haven't watched it. Like I know we're not. Like I said, we keep saying we're not the hardcore Trekkies, so we still got a lot of things. So we've got a few movies we haven't seen.
Yeah.
We're going to watch those and we're going to talk about those together. So this is going to be a complete sort of Star Trek fan cast odyssey. So yeah, I hope you stick around for us to follow us and our adventures watching all this stuff. But for some reason, Enterprise, we just have this blemish
that
we have to
get over.
We have to get over it. We
have
to
help
watch it.
Us.
So we thought the only way we're going to do this is if we promise the world that we are going to watch it. We promised each other, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
It just seems that we can keep our marriage promise because, you know, I love you and everything, and yes. I can't get out of that. I'm trapped.
You're trapped. You got bullet chain.
But Enterprise, you know, we have to watch it. So Riser and Shine. This podcast is all. This is dedicated to Star Trek Enterprise. We are going to watch you from start to finish, every single episode of this four-season run.
Yeah.
And we hope you join us for the ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of pain. And maybe it could be, it might turn out to be our favorite of the series.
Yeah, who knows? I wouldn't call it my favorite, but we don't know yet. We might overcome.
We've not made it past episode 3. When we get to episode 4, I think we should celebrate something special on the podcast because we've never made it past 3. I think we didn't finish 3. We got to 3 and we're like, I can't do this. The only thing I really like about it so far is that dog, Captain Archer's beagle.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that at the moment that's really been going for it for me. But this is it. This is Riser and Shine. A dedicated unofficial Star Trek podcast for Enterprise. And so we for the free people that are listening, we thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. This is our first time about doing this, so of course there's going to be some issues, and I'm sure the format will change over time. We've been talking about doing something like this for a little while, and it is funny that Enterprise is the thing that actually is going to officially pop our podcasting cherry.
Yeah.
That's very random, but here it is, and here we are. So we hope that you'll join us next week for our chat, and we're going to be talking about the pilot episode, Broken Bow, back to beginning, starting from scratch, from dot. We're really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, look out for more Riser and Shine on all your favorite podcasting platforms. And, we'll see you next week.
Kayla? All right. Take care.
Okay, bye. Helm, take us out of here. What should you say? Warp 4?
Warp 4.
Warp 4. Punch it.